Hey, church family, it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us as we look into God's Word together. Turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. We talked about a call to prayer last week, and we were saying that God has been laying this on our hearts as a leadership to really pursue prayer in this season. I know there's a lot of uncertainty, and it's just a tough season, you know, I think that we're going through, and everyone's in it together, right? The whole world's kind of going through this season, and as a nation, there's a lot of division in our country, and for the people of God, what God's calling us to is to step into this space and to really say, Lord, we want to be used by you. In our times, in this generation, we really want to stand in the gap for all the things that are happening and all the people that are being affected. And so I really want to continue on this theme of prayer. We talked about a call to prayer last week, and we're stressing the importance of gathering together as a body and really the importance of corporate prayer, of saying, hey, we want to gather together and really pursue the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do in our church? What do you want to do in our community and in our world? Praying that the gospel would be going out. Praying that God would give us direction and wisdom in this season. And I want to do another message on prayer this morning. Some of you might be over it, but I think it's important that we look into this area of prayer, because I think it's so easy for us to neglect the basics of our faith, right? Reading the Bible, praying. These things are very simple, and yet they're difficult for us to put into practice. And so I wanted to look at the challenges of prayer this morning. The challenges that we face in prayer, because if we're honest, there are some very real challenges and roadblocks and discouragements that we encounter as we seek to pray. There are some things that concern us, discourage us, and honestly, we don't really talk about these things sometimes, but if we're honest, they're kind of in the back of our mind, and we're going to talk about some of those things as we look at some of the challenges that we encounter in prayer. As we look at Colossians chapter 3, I want to read just verses 1 and 2, and then we'll kind of flip around a little bit. But I wanted to begin here in verses 1 and 2. It says this, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." And so, right off the bat, Paul is encouraging these believers, and he's saying, hey, because you've been raised with Christ, because your position has been secured with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. And so the call here in these verses is really to seek the Lord, is to seek him and the things of God. It's not to get wrapped up with the things that are on the earth, which is so easy for us to do. Because if we're honest, one of the challenges that we face in prayer is that we are easily distracted. I don't know about you, but I've seen my attention span decrease over the years, right? I wish I could just say it's the kids these days, but unfortunately, I've seen this change in my own heart, in my own life. And if we're honest, we would have to say, you know what, we are more easily distracted than we may have been in the past. We're living in this age of distraction, and we kind of thrive off of distracting ourselves with different kinds of things, technology, and just this constant flow of news and media. We are living in these days, and don't get me wrong, technology and media could be a great blessing. But oftentimes it can hinder us from spending time thinking about the things that are above, as these verses say. There's a book that's called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. Interesting title, and in it, Tony Rinke gives us some insight into how we're basically constantly bombarded by the latest and the greatest when it comes to our phone. And I want to focus in on the phone a little bit because I think it's when we talk about technology broadly, I know there's TV shows, I know there's video games and other things, but I think the phone is something that we all kind of have and we have this attachment to. And I want to read you what Tony Rinke has to say about this. He says this, whether it's a breaking news alert, a direct message prompt, a text message, or a news app, our phones make our lives vulnerable to the immediacy of the moment in a way unknown to every earlier generation and culture. Social media and mobile web access on our phones all drive the immediacy of events around the world into our lives. As a result, we suffer from neomania, an addiction to anything new within the last 5 minutes. End quote. I love what Tony is saying here. He's really honing in on this idea that there's so much that's urgent nowadays. There's so much that is right at our fingertips. And our brains get kind of trained to, hey, I got to look at the phone. Right? Maybe as you're listening to this message, just think about how many times you thought about your phone, how many times you've checked your phone. I know for me, this is a big thing. It's almost just a habit, right? We don't even think about it anymore. We just kind of go to the phone. We know that we're going to get news. We know that we're going to get updates on people's lives. We can check out if we want to. We can distract ourselves. And so we are living in an age of distraction. And what Paul is calling us to here is really, first of all, I think we have to recognize what it is that's distracting us. Like for you, where is it that you spend the bulk of your time? Where is it that your heart gravitates towards? And Paul's saying, if you've been raised with Christ, you have a new identity. Now we're called to seek the things that are above. We're called to recognize what is it that's stealing my heart's affection for the Lord. And then we want to create space to really say, you know what? I want to create space to really enjoy the Lord. I want to feast on Jesus. Because we are always feasting on something. We're always looking for something to satisfy us. There's that deep longing in each one of us for community, for acceptance, for fulfillment. And we look to different things to get that. And what the scripture is saying here is that only a relationship with our Creator can fill that void. There are no amount of earthly things that can fill the void that only a relationship with the Creator can fulfill. And so the way that we combat distractions is we make space to enjoy God. And we want to do this personally. And when we talk about prayer, we really want to start creating space to really say, you know what? It might feel like work at first. We're like, I'm going to carve out this time and just enjoy Jesus. I'm just going to press in. I'm just going to pray and make room to enjoy God. There's a man named George Mueller. Some of you may know him, but he was a mighty man of God, and he was used by God in a powerful way. Man of faith, man of prayer. He had an amazing ministry in England, and he lived from 1805 to 1898. He cared for more than 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. Amazing ministry that he had. And it's been said in his journals that Mueller had over 50,000 specific recorded answers to prayer. He had over 50,000 specific recorded answers to prayer. And he said that 30,000 of those were answered in the same day or the same hour that he prayed them. This is a man who stewarded over, in today's currency, what would be $500 million in his lifetime. And he traces all that back to prayer. And so this is a man who had a great ministry, who was used by God in a powerful way, and is known for his prayer life. Now, believe it or not, George Mueller actually struggled early on to focus in prayer. He felt like it took him some time. You know, sometimes it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes to really kind of enter into that place of prayer with the Lord. And he says that the breakthrough came when he began to see the link between the Word of God and prayer. What he did was he basically began to talk to the Lord about the things that he was seeing in the Word. Right? Instead of just trying to get himself in the zone of just praying, he really had this relationship where he would read the Word, he'd study it, he'd look into it, and then he'd talk to the Lord about what he was finding in the Word. And he found that this really helped him to enter into more, it helped him to enter in more quickly into these times of prayer. And I would just encourage us with this similar lesson that I know it's tough to kind of get in that zone of praying and seeking the Lord, but I think taking a page out of George Mueller's book and saying, how can we really enter into that place of focus and intentionality more quickly? And I think allowing the Word of God, allowing us to really get into it and just to study and just to glean from the Word and to pray the Word back to the Lord, we're really going to see some breakthrough there, I think, in our prayer lives. Because when we look at prayer, one man, Gary Miller, defines it like this. He says that prayer is calling on God to come through on His promise. Prayer is calling on God to come through on His promise. And we see this all throughout the Scripture. In prayer, what is it that we're doing? We're merely calling on God and we're reminding Him of His promises and we're claiming the promises that He's given us in His Word. And we're basically just repeating those things back to God and saying, God, You said that You wanted to do this. You said that You were willing to save, that Your hand's not too short, that You're not weak, that You're powerful, that You're mighty to save. You said that if we prayed that You would answer. And we're merely reminding God of what He's promised to do. We're bringing the promises of God from Scripture, and we're repeating those things, and we're speaking those things to God and saying, God, please do what You already said that You want to do. We saw last week that it's important for us to pray that there's things that are on the line when we pray, right? Yes, God is sovereign. And we might say, yeah, God will do what He's going to do, but that's an over-realized view of God's sovereignty. Because the Bible is very clear that there are certain things that we're not going to have unless we ask for them. Yes, God can give you whatever He wants to give you. You don't have to pray. There are times where that's true. But there are also times where God says, I won't give you certain things unless you ask for them. And this is really the challenge that I want for us to have in this season, is to really say, Lord, I want to heed the call. We want to heed the call as Your people to step into this place of prayer, to realize that this is a priority, to realize that, like, if we don't do it, like, who's going to do it? Like, if we don't step into this place of prayer and seek the Lord, we can't just bank on the fact that other people are going to step up and pick up the slack. We each have a responsibility, each one of us individually as the people of God, we have a responsibility to step into the gap, to enter into prayer. And so I want us to face, like, what are the challenges that we face in prayer, to kind of try to work through some of those things so that we might press in more fully. We recognize our distractions. We bring those before the Lord. We allow the Word of God to really help shape us and help focus our prayer lives. Another challenge I want to look at is, what do we do with unanswered prayers? I think this is a big one for people. Because many of us, I think, feel like, is anything really happening when we pray? Because I've prayed for things and I feel like God's not answering me. For this, I want to look at Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Turn with me to Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus here is going to tell a parable about prayer. It says this. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I love this parable that Jesus is telling. He's wanting to get this point across to his disciples. And we see Jesus talking about prayer many different places throughout the New Testament. But it's interesting that the whole point of this parable we see in verse 1, that he told them this parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And if we're honest, many times we lose heart in prayer because we don't see God answering in the way that we think he should answer. And what Jesus is wanting to get across to them and to us is to say, hey, the solution is to not give up in prayer. It's not like, okay, prayer's not working, so I'm just going to throw in the towel. It's like, no, keep pressing in, keep pressing on, keep going forward. He says that we're always to pray and not lose heart. And we've got to fight against this discouragement when we feel like God's not answering us in the way that we think he should be. We've got to fight against that and be persistent in prayer. Notice what Jesus does here is he talks about this widow who comes to this unjust judge and she wants justice. There's a situation that she's going through. She wants justice against her adversary. And the Lord is making this a point to say, hey, the judge is not a good man. Okay? This guy doesn't fear God or he doesn't respect man. But because the widow keeps bothering him, he's like, I'm going to give her justice. I'm going to give her what she wants. Not because I'm a good person, but because she keeps bothering me. It's kind of an interesting parable, right? And we know from parables, there's oftentimes one point to a parable, right? We don't take out every little thing and say, oh, is God an unjust judge? No, that's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable is what Jesus is saying here in verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. He's saying, man, if this is the case with a judge who doesn't care about justice, and he'll still give someone justice because that person keeps bothering them, how much more your Father in heaven, how much more does he desire to answer you and to come through for you? Just because God is delaying in answering or doesn't answer the way that you want him to answer doesn't mean that he's failing to hear you. I think this is very important for us to understand. Think about the things that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe you're saying, man, I just want to have another child. I just wish that my kid would, you know, get back on track, fix their life. I just wish I never made those mistakes. I wish God could just erase the past. And we pray for these things. We pray, God, please remove the pain of those past years. Remove the pain of my past. Help my child to get through this difficult time. Help us. Help the people that we love to come to know you. God, I feel like you're not answering. I feel like they still don't know you. Are you ever going to come through? Are you ever going to answer my prayer? And my encouragement and what Jesus is encouraging us from this scripture is to say, hey, your prayers are never in vain. God is always hearing you. God's always listening. And just because he's delaying in answering the way that you want does not mean that he's not going to answer. And the whole point here is he's saying, hey, you've got to persist in prayer. You got to keep going. You've got to pester him. You got to keep coming daily and just saying, Lord, you said to come. You said to ask and seek and knock and to keep coming, and I'm going to do that. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to keep pressing on. And for this, we need the Holy Spirit. We need God to really help us in this. But just know this, that just because God isn't answering our prayers the way we would want him to answer does not mean that he's not listening. Does not mean that he's answering in his own way. I love what Tim Keller has to say in his book on prayer about this point. Listen to this quote. He says, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. I love this. So good. Because what it's saying is that God knows what's best. And when we ask God for things, we must know this, that he is good, that he is all powerful, that he's able to give those things to us, but that he sees the whole picture. We might just see a snippet of the movie and God sees the whole movie all at once. And so when we're praying, we want to pray in accordance with God's will. And so sometimes we're praying for things and we'll say, Lord, please pray that you would have your way, that you would do your will in this situation. And we're acknowledging that, God, you know what's best. We're praying with the knowledge that we have and what we think is best. But at the end of the day, we're saying, God, you do what you're going to do. Because everything that you do is good, and your ways are high above our ways. We can't figure out all the reasons why you answer us in certain ways and why you say no and why you say yes, but we know that you're good and we know that you have it under control. And so when we say this, we're saying, Lord, you have all knowledge. You know what needs to be done. And we're surrendering our wills to his. And we could trust that God's going to come through in his time, in his way. Okay, just because God's not giving you the answer you want now does not mean he's going to come through for you. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep seeking him. I would encourage you to write down your prayers as well. Because sometimes I think it's easy. It's difficult for us to see how God's answering it. And I know for me, I just kind of forget sometimes, you know, like if I don't write it down, I'm like, I just feel like God's not answering my prayers and I'm like discouraged. But really when I start writing down my prayers, that's a practice that helps me kind of focus, a practice that I need to kind of get back to myself. But there's been times where I've written prayers down and said, man, and I could trace back and look and say, wow, God has really answered this prayer. I prayed it on this day at this time, and God came through for me. That's one encouragement I would have for us, is to really begin to journal those prayers. Maybe if it's just a page long, just start to put your prayers on paper and see what God would do. Another challenge that we face in prayer is that prayer is oftentimes a labor, and there's oftentimes a struggle for other people when we're praying. Right? When we do a prayer meeting, it's, man, if we're honest, can we just be honest right now? It's tough. You might feel like, dude, it's just prayer. How hard can it be? But honestly, it's tough because it's like the focus and the heart. And it's like, man, sometimes our hearts aren't in it. And we're like, we're showing up, but it feels like we're not doing much. And, you know, the style of the prayer meeting, there's all kinds of things that we could get tripped up on. And honestly, though, prayer can be a struggle. And it's takes some work. We see this in Colossians chapter 2. If you turn there to Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Notice what Paul says here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face." Paul's like, I'm struggling for you guys. Like in prayer, like prayer equals struggle many times, especially when we're standing in the gap for people and we're bringing people before the Lord, because there's a spiritual battle that's happening. And so if we're unaware of this battle, we're going to be very discouraged when we come to prayer and we're like, man, I just don't feel like praying. Like I feel like our prayers are hitting the wall. Like what's going on here? We're going to be very discouraged if we're not aware of this. There's a spiritual battle that's waging, and God's inviting us and saying, hey, I want you to enter into this battle. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's going to take labor, but it's going to be worth it. We see this again in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 12 through 13 as Paul is speaking about a brother named Epaphras. Notice what he says here in verse 12 and 13. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. In all the will of God. He's struggling on your behalf. Notice that language. He's always struggling. Verse 13, for I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Paul is like vouching for this brother and saying, man, this guy, he's struggling for you guys in prayer. He's not just throwing up half-hearted prayers. Lord, just bless these guys and, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes prayer. This guy's really entering in and entering into this struggle. He's entering into the battle and saying, I am going to pray fervently with urgency that God would bless you guys, that you would be fully assured and you'd stand fast in his will. And Paul's just bringing attention and saying, hey, I want you guys to recognize this guy because look at the ministry of intercessory prayer and what people do at the prayer meeting is often overlooked, right? Like we tend to see the people that are leading things like preaching or teaching or music, people that are up front on stage. But honestly, you guys, like our greatest work, it's going to be in prayer. Like our culture says like, okay, like you, there's a lot of identity we get from what we do, what we bring to the table, our giftings. We like those kinds of things. But with prayer, honestly, it's just like humble ground when we pray because like none of us are saying like, oh, we're so great. We're so amazing. We're just like, Lord, like we need you. Like we don't have it together. Like we need help. We're expressing how much we need God in prayer. And so when Paul is saying here about Epaphras, he's wanting to point out, hey, this brother is really struggling for you in prayer. I know you don't see his ministry, but man, don't underestimate the power of someone entering into prayer. But prayer is struggle. Prayer is labor. I know it's tiring. I think that's the way that God designed it. When we're truly praying, we're going to be tired. We're going to have a struggle. But again, it's because there's a spiritual battle that's waging. The enemy wants to discourage us from entering into this place of prayer because he knows how powerful it is. If God's people were to truly seek him and call out to him and cry out to him and say, Lord, we want to see you move, imagine what God would do. And so I think the enemy wants to keep us from doing anything but praying. It's like, oh, you can have your music, you can have your preaching, just don't pray. That's the strategy of Satan, you guys. And we have to wake up and say, we need to rise up and say, okay, what is the spiritual battle that's happening around us? And how do we enter in and struggle and labor? And ultimately, we can do this because Jesus first did this for us. Think about the Garden of Gethsemane. Think about what Jesus did in the garden. It says that he was sweating these drops of blood as he's praying, as he's really entering into struggle, and he's praying for the Father's will to be done. He's looking at the cross. He picks up the cup and says, Lord, if it's your will, take this cup from me, right? The cup is right there, and he's praying, God, take this cup from me if it's your will. The cup signifying the wrath of God. The cup didn't move. The Father did not remove the cup. Jesus was going to have to drink the full cup of God's wrath. And as he's faced with it in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's that wave of struggle, right? That heaviness that overtakes him. And he did this for you and for I. He did this for us. He said, I will drink that cup. I will struggle in prayer. Remember where his disciples were? He asked them to pray. They weren't there. They were sleeping. It's oftentimes how we are. We're spiritually asleep when it comes to prayer. But while we're doing that, Jesus is interceding for us. And the Bible's clear in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says that he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. So not only does Jesus intercede for us in the garden, but now the present ministry of Christ is one of intercession for his people. The motivation and the way that we can persist in prayer is because we know that Jesus right now is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. He always lives to intercede for them. He accomplished what was needed for us to have right standing with God at the cross. We were justified, we were made right, righteous in His sight, cleansed of all our sin. And now His ministry now in heaven is one of intercession, where basically He's applying that work that He accomplished at the cross 2,000 years ago. And so this teaching, this doctrine of the intercessory work of Christ is important for us to understand, because it means that God is not uninvolved in our lives. God's not just saying, hey guys, will you please pray? But Jesus is saying, no, I'm interceding for you. I'm ever living to make intercession for you. And that helps us to say, okay, Jesus is praying for us. And Jesus is saying, I want you to join me in interceding for others as well. We're oftentimes faced with our inadequacy in prayer, right? This is another challenge that we face in prayer. Some of you might say, man, I don't want to go to the prayer meeting because honestly, I'm embarrassed to pray, man. I hear you guys praying and I'm like, oh, you guys are praying such good prayers. And I just stink at praying. I get nervous praying. I just want to encourage you that, man, prayer is not about saying the right words. It's not about sounding good to everyone else. It's really a cry from your heart to God's. And that could just be a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be long. It's just a heart cry. Just saying, Lord, bless our church. Lead us, God. Lead this brother or sister who's struggling. Amen. It could be very short. It's really about the heart and just speaking to God. Don't worry about what other people think. It's good to know that Scripture says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. As we think about prayer, there's a scripture in Romans 8, verse 26 through 27. I just want to read it for us real quick. It says this: likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Guys, this is such an amazing truth that when we come to prayer, we oftentimes don't know how to pray and we don't know what to pray for sometimes, but this is so encouraging for us to know that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. He's taking into account that we have limited knowledge, that we don't always know how to pray or what to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. So we have Jesus interceding for us in heaven. We have the Spirit interceding for us according to the will of God. The Godhead is involved in this, you guys. As we're praying, we're not merely doing it apart from the power and presence of the Holy Spirit and of Christ. We're doing this partnering with them. We're coming to the Father together, aided by the Holy Spirit, with Jesus interceding for us. And we're saying, Lord, let your will be done. Help us in our weakness. Help us to grow in prayer. And so that's my prayer for us as a church, is that we would seek the Lord in prayer. Thank you guys for showing up. Those of you who came to the prayer meeting on Wednesday, it was very encouraging to have you. To the rest of the church, this is just something that we want to grow in this season. I would encourage you, if you can join us, please come. Check it out and just say, I want to just position myself with the people of God. I want to just position myself and just partner with what God wants to do in our community and the church, in the world. And I really believe that we're going to see God moving. Man, I'm already seeing God answer prayers, you guys. I had a encouraging thing happen today. Won't go into details, but something that we've been praying for a while was starting to manifest. And I'm like, man, this is so good, because I know exactly the reason why. It's because we've been praying for it, man. And God says, I want to hear you. I'm going to answer you when you pray. And so let's be encouraged to keep going, that even though there are challenges in prayer, that the Holy Spirit is able to help us, that Jesus is interceding for us, that the Father welcomes us and He wants to embrace us into the throne room. And I pray that we would take full advantage as children of God, that we wouldn't squander this privilege that we have to come into his presence, but that we would say, Lord, help us use this to the full advantage. Help us to enjoy you, to press into you in this season, to really seek your face, and that you would do a mighty work in our generation, that you lead many people to know you, that you'd grow our faith in you. And that, as it says there in Luke, that you would find faith on the earth when you come again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, Lord, that we get to get into your word, Father, and just really see what your word has to say about prayer and just look at the different challenges of prayer, God, that we experience and that we face. And we just confess, Lord, that there are many challenges, God. There's probably many others that we haven't talked about. But I pray, Father, that you would really reach into the depths of our hearts, God. And I pray that you would encourage us if we're in a rut, if we just feel like there's a barrier that's keeping us from pressing into you. I pray that you would remove that, you'd expose it, that you'd remove distractions, Father, that you'd help us to really press into you. Those unanswered prayers that we have, God, I pray that you would really minister to us in our hearts, God, that you would speak to us about those things, that you'd help us to trust you and wait upon you and to know that you're moving even as we're waiting and that your timing's perfect. Help us to enter into laboring and struggling for others, God. We confess that we're oftentimes tired. Our strength is not enough. We need to be energized and strengthened by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you want to do this work in us and through us, and that you move when we pray, God. And we pray that you would have your way in us, in our lives, in our marriages, in our singleness, in our families, whatever stage of life we're in. In this season, God, there's just different things that are happening and going on. I pray that you take us deeper into your heart. I pray you'd use us, Lord, to comfort those who are going through tough times, and that you'd speak life over us, God. We give you all the impossible situations that we face. We give you all of our anxieties and our heartaches. And we just pray that you would have your way in those things, God. We love you, Lord. We pray you'd be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. God bless you.